everyone. Welcome to episode 26 of Thomas and the Bible, the long-awaited episode. The world stood on edge, waiting to see when I was going to release another episode. It's been a few years, and a lot has changed in the Bible. Oh, no. No, it hasn't. It's been a while. It's been... If you weren't listening live, which I don't know, not many, that many people were, you won't even notice it. It'll just be you clicked on episode 25, you finished it, you're like, God, this guy sucks, and then you went to the next episode for some reason, and you're like, what? Gone? Huh? What? Who? But yeah, I had some schedule stuff that just would not work out, so I thought I'd just take a week off, and then a week turned into 80 billion years, and then I realized that I truly am never going to be able to do 5 episodes a week again. It was a little ambitious to start out that way. I wish I could, but that's just a lot of time. I didn't think it would take me as much time per episode as it does. So I really didn't want to just do one a week because it's something about it just bothers me. But I'm going to. But think how free it makes me for length, because I mean, I've been talking for God 7 minutes, I think, already. Yeah, look at the timer. 7 minutes or so. No, 7:20. And I don't care. That's how free I am now. I have no time restrictions. No, I'm not going to waste your time. I'll probably still try to make them about the same length. Chapter 12 of Leviticus. If I remember properly, Leviticus is a book in the Bible. And chapter 12 came after chapter 11. Is that right? That's about all I remember from what was happening. I think Moses had talked to God, and God had said some stupid... Fill me in. You guys fill me in on the details. Catch me up. No, I'm just kidding. I actually listened to my episodes back, so I feel somewhat informed on the topic. So here's chapter 12. Feels good to be back reading this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed, saying, and no, not really. I had that third saying, but the first two were there. If a woman have conceived seed and born a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. According to the days of the separation for her infirmity, shall she be unclean. Right off the bat, Bible, you just work me right back into the flow of stupidity here. It is the Bible. I was going to say it's the commentary. The commentary was what I pointed out here. Some of it, I read the site that has, like, I don't know, 4 different commentaries that, you know, way more than you could ever hope to read in your lifetime about the Bible. But I read most of it. But anyway, some of the commentary tries to, like, make it sound better than it is. Because, you know, it essentially just said, you know, when a woman has a man child, then she's unclean 7 days. What that means, I don't totally know, but some of the commentary was like, well, it's trying to make it better. It's like, well, this doesn't mean that women are dirty or filthy. It just means that men shouldn't have sex with them so soon after childbirth. It's like, oh, okay. Well, if that's true, you know, could have chosen your words a little better, you know, to be a little more sensitive to the new mothers. Unclean and infirmity. honey, I need you to shut yourself up in that room there until you recover from your infirmity. That wouldn't go over very well nowadays, I don't think. Other notes say, oh, this sin was removed by Christ, so like doesn't apply. So women were, I guess, after they had children before BC, before Christ, then they were dirty. But then once Christ died, they're like, oh, yeah, I just had a baby. I'm actually kind of clean. Well, that's weird. I was my first child is horrible. Was that because of Christ just died? Was that? Huh. Oh, okay. Neat. Well, good for it. Thanks. Appreciate it, dude. Verse 3. This is the shortest chapter ever, by the way. It's like eight verses. Yeah, but the next two chapters are the longest chapters so far. And in the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Yep. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. So that sort of flies in the face of the commentary that was trying to say, like, no, it doesn't mean she's dirty. Touch no hallowed thing. So are we to believe that she could touch no hallowed thing because her husband can't have sex with her right after she has a child, according to that commentary? Like, that's part of that. Like, oh, if she touches some hallowed thing, then maybe her husband will be too turned on. Like, oh, you just, honey, oh, don't touch that hallowed thing. You know what that does to me? Oh, that hallowed thing. Or come into the sanctuary. Oh, man. So, yeah, that sounds like they were just retarded about women and pregnancy and that kind of thing. Doesn't really sound like what they were trying to make it sound. But if she bear a maid child, well, I'd like to think that, you know, the child might go into some other profession besides being a maid. I mean, has a chance, right? Then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her separation, and she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. Not much I can add to that. Unclean, what was it, seven days or something? 7 days. If you have a man, unclean. 2 weeks if you have a female. Because somehow girls make you dirtier than boys. There's not much you could possibly say to defend that. It's just outright sexism. I don't think physiologically there's anything that's really going to cover for that. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled, for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, who shall offer it to before the Lord, and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that hath borne a male or a female. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring two turtles or two young, because if you don't, oh honey, I you just had a baby. Do you have a lamb? I don't have a lamb. I'm out of lambs. Crap. Girl's like, well, no, I don't know, but I do have these two turtles. I've been hanging on to them for, I don't know, God knows how long. I thought, you know, maybe someday they'd come in handy for something. Yeah, no, I got these two turtles. That's in the book. Yeah, check the book. Yeah, it's there. Oh, okay. Let's go offer those. Or two young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering and the other for sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. Notice the ranking of sacrifices is in order of how much Aaron's family will enjoy eating them. So like a lamb or a cow or, you know, that kind of thing is like top rate. But then you go down to like two turtles or pigeons, stuff that they're just like, oh, okay, yeah, thanks for the sacrifice. That's good. You should, God bless you. Good sacrifice. All right, thanks. Aaron's family doesn't get too excited about that. Well, that's the end of that short crap chapter. On to the next one. Alrighty, well, this one, I've got a few quips here and there, but I got a lot of points at the end of the chapter. It's really long, so I'll try to get through it as fast as I can here. Chapter 13, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priests. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague be in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, that's my Shakespearean coming out, turned white. I should do that all the time, make it sound really pretty. Then the priest shall, if I could roll my R's, that'd be so awesome. Then the priest, isn't that weird that some people like myself are just retarded and cannot roll their R's? Why did God, all right, Christians, why did God make me not able to roll my R's? I would love to read this book and be all pretty about it. Then the priest, I can almost, if I go fast enough, I can almost make it sound like it. Like, then the priest, priest shall. Oh man, I'm telling you, no time limitations now. I just say whatever I want. I just go for hours on this stupid, not funny. I could just keep recording until somehow by some like Jesus miracle I roll my R's. Priest. All right, I'll move on. Shall shut him up that hath the plague 7 days. And the priest shall look on him the seventh day, and behold, if the plague in his sight be at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. So even if the guy just had a scab, if I understand this correctly, he's shut up for 7 days more. You know, I just thought of something. I bet if ever you had like some annoying family member that you just wanted to get rid of, you could just like all of a sudden one day, if they ever have their shirt off or whatever, or something, you could just like look at their back and be like, Oh my God. What is that in the, there's this white scab thing on the middle of your back, right? Yeah. Right where there's no way you could see it. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to take you to the priest, even if it's just a scab. It might just be a normal scab. I'm just going to take you to the priest, and we'll get that checked out. And then even if it's just nothing, you know, it sounds like the priest just has to shut him up for 7 days or whatever. Or maybe bribe the priest, because I'm pretty sure they would go for that kind of thing. The priest is like, oh, I don't really see. No, there's a, yeah, you see that discoloration? That's definitely at least a scab, might be leprosy. I just don't want to have a curse upon my house. So I'm just, you know, better be safe than sorry. And the priest is like, you know, you're right. Let's shut him up for 7 days. And then when he lets him out to check after 7 days, according to this wording, he has to shut him up for 7 days more. So like, even if you get better, or even if it was nothing, you're still shut up for like 2 weeks. And the priest shall look on him again in the seventh day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. So wait, okay, so if it was a scab, I don't understand this. The last one said if the plague spread not in the skin. Oh, okay, so the last one was saying if it's leprosy but it's not spreading, then shut him up 7 days more. Okay, my mistake. So maybe my little scheme would only work for 7 days but not 14. All right, okay. Still, seven days. Nothing wrong with that. But it is but a scab. I love that language too. Pronounce him clean. It is but a scab, of course. And he shall wash his clothes and be... Oh, you get free laundry out of it. The priest has to wash your clothes. But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin after that he hath been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy. I love the wording that's going on here. Pronounce you unclean. I now pronounce you man and leprosy. Well, if there's no reason why this man and this leprosy shall not be one, I now pronounce you man and leprosy. Now pronounce you unclean. When the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest. And if the priest shall see him, and behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising, it is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. What? So you don't have to shut him. So the shutting him up is like a precaution or a, I don't know. Maybe they just burn him alive. Who knows? Who knows with this bibble? And if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague from his head, even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white, he is clean. What? Who cares? This is a long chapter about leprosy, so you know what? I should just get through it. This is not interesting. But when raw flesh appeareth in him, he shall be unclean. And the priest shall see the raw flesh, and say, that's raw flesh, and pronounce him to be unclean, for the raw flesh is unclean. It is leprosy. wow, so redundant. If the raw flesh turn again and be changed into white, he shall come unto the priest, and the priest shall see him, and behold, if the plague be turned into white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague, he is clean. This one's clean, he's clean. The flesh also, in which even the skin thereof was a boil and is healed, and in the place of the boil there be a white rising or a bright spot, white and somewhat reddish, it should be shewed to the priest. And if, when the priest seeth it, behold, if it be in sight lower than the skin, and the hair thereof be turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague of leprosy broken out of the boil. Oh, I'm loving how binary all this is. It's like clean or unclean. There's no gray area. Things in this Bible are clean or unclean. So did they stick all the lepers in a colony with all the women who were either just gave birth or on their periods? And like all the shellfish and pigs and griffins that they find? They just stick them in like one unclean pen, like one big hamper. Like this is all these things, these are unclean. These are unclean things and people and animals. They're unclean. They need a good washing. But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hairs therein, and if it be not lower than the skin, but be somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. And if it spread much abroad in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague. But if the bright spot stay in his place and spread not, it is a burning boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Oh, wow. Or if there be any flesh in the skin whereof there is a hot burning, and the quick flesh that burneth have a white bright spot, somewhat reddish or white, then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the hair in the bright spot be turned white, and it be in sight deeper than the skin, it is a leprosy broken out of the burning. Wherefore the priest shall pronounce him unclean, it is the plague of leprosy. But if the priest look on it, I know you guys were thinking out there, you're like, no, but what if the priest look on it and behold, there be no white hair in the bright spot and it be no lower than the other skin, but be somewhat dark? What should the priest do then? Well, very astute question. I'll tell you what the priest should do. According to the Bible, the priest shall shut him up 7 days. Yep. And the priest shall look upon him in the seventh day. And if it be spread much abroad in the skin, what if it spread like sort of abroad in the skin? Like, this isn't quite much abroad. I'd say it's sort of kind of abroad. I wouldn't call it much. Little abroad. Then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. And if the bright spot stay in his place and spread not in the skin, but be somewhat dark, it is the rising of the burning. And the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is an inflammation of the burning. If the man or woman have plague upon the head or the beard, if the woman have the plague on the beard, Then the priest shall see the plague, and behold, if it be in sight deeper than the skin, and there be in it a yellow hair, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. If it's an orange hair, then clean. If it's a purple hair, then unclean. If it's a turquoise hair, then unclean. If it is a dry skull, even a leprosy upon the head or beard. And if the priest look on the plague of the skull, which is S-C-A-L-L, by the way. Scal? I don't know. And behold, it be not in sight deeper than the skin, and that there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall shut him up that hath the plague of the scal 7 days. And in the seventh day the priest shall look upon the plague, and behold, if the scal spread not, there be in it no yellow hair, and the skin be not in sight deeper than the skin. Oh, the scal shall be not in sight. Dude, who cares? He shall be shaven, but the scal shall he not shave. And the priest shall shut him up that hath the skull 7 days more. And in the seventh day, the priest shall look on the skull, and behold, you know, there must have been some extensive record keeping going on to keep track of, like, who was on their, you know, fourth day, third day, what it looked like before, who, you know, who did we shave, who isn't shaven, who's got, you know, was the skull. There must have been some extensive paperwork and confusion. I would have just walked in, next day, walked out. Hey, I've been in there for, oh, God, 9, 10 days. And you put me in there because it just looked like a little scab. So it was nothing. So you know what? Actually, that was the second time you put me in there, so I'm clean now. I'm fine. Shouldn't I see it? No. You said it was fine last time. I was just in there for precautionary measures. All right, I'm out of here. Meanwhile, my face is like falling off. I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. No, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, I was fine. No, my face is always like that. It was a scab that was on my elbow. So, yeah. Nor be in sight deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean, and he shall wash all his clothes and be clean. But if the skull spread much in the skin after his cleansing, then the priest shall look on him, and behold, if the skull be spread in the skin, the priest shall not seek for yellow hair. He is unclean. Ugh, if there's anyone in the world who could follow all this or cared to follow it, all that, it would be amazing. This answers all the questions you ever had about what to do with when your friend has leprosy. Everything you ever need to know in this holy book. But if the skull be in his sight at a stay, and that there is black hair grown up therein, the skull is healed. He is clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. If a man or a woman have in the skin of their flesh bright spots, even white bright spots, then the priest shall look, and behold, if the bright spots in the skin of their flesh be darkish white, it is a freckled spot that groweth in the skin. He is unclean. And the man whose hair is fallen off his head, he is bald, yet he is clean. And he that hath his hair fallen off from the part of his head toward his face, he is forehead bald, yet he is clean. Hold on, I gotta go back. Sorry, I skipped right over a glorious line. And the man whose hair has fallen off his head, he is bald, yet he is clean. So just in case the priest was like, look at that man! Who's that man? He doesn't have hair on his head. What the? Is that leprosy? Hold on, let's consult the Bible. And the man whose hair has fallen off his head, he is bald. Oh, he's bald, right. Oh. Okay, so, hey, dude, no, you're just bald. Sorry, I thought you had leprosy. I was about to murder you, but no, you're just bald. So, yeah, tell your wife. Yet he is clean. And he that hath his hair fallen off from the part of his head toward his face, he is forehead bald. Yet he is clean. And if there be in the bald head or the bald forehead a white reddish sore, it's really disgusting. No, it is a leprosy sprung up in his bald head. That was the actual words. It doesn't really put it lightly, does it? It is a leprosy sprung up in his bald head, his bald stupid head, or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white, reddish in his bald head, or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of the flesh, he is a leprous man, he is unclean, the priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. I pronounce you utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. It's getting to his head. It's getting to his head. His plague is psyching him out. He can't make free throws for crap because this plague is totally in his head. And the leper, in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent. And who would want to rent his clothes? I wouldn't want to. I just buy my own. And his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. The leper has to do that? The leper has to put a covering on his upper lip, which means nothing, apparently. I have no idea what that means. And has to cry, unclean, unclean. Like, just two times like that, or all the time? Does he have to constantly be doing it? Like, unclean, 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 unclean. Or does he just say, unclean, unclean? Because that would be, that makes a difference. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him shall he be defiled. He shall be defiled. He is uncleaned. He shall dwell alone. Well, what if he finds an unclean wife or something, or unclean friend? Or can he dwell with some shellfish or something? Have a pet dragon or one of those things that flies but has crawls on four legs, whatever those are? Can he have a friend? They're unclean too. The garment also that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it be in the warp or woof of linen or of woolen, whether in a skin or in anything made of skin, and if the plague be greenish or reddish in the garment or in the skin, either in the warp or in the woof or in anything of the skin, it is a plague of leprosy and shall be shewed unto the priest. And the priest shall look upon the plague and shut it up that hath the plague 7 days. So if you have like a blanket with plague in it, the priest is like, I'm going to teach you a lesson. I'm shutting you up for 7 days, blanket. Like days, like have some effect on the plague. And he shall look on the plague on the seventh day. If the plague be spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in the skin, or in any work that is made of the skin. Yeah, just the first thing you said. The garment was fine. You didn't need to. Or in any place of the garment, or in this, or in that, or in this part of the garment, or in the... The plague is a fretting leprosy. It is unclean. He shall therefore burn that garment, whether on warp or woof, in woolen or in linen, or any of thing of skin wherein the plague is, for it is a fretting leprosy. It shall be burnt in the fire. And if the priest shall look, and behold, the plague be not spread in the garment, either in the warp or the woof or anything of skin, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing wherein the plague is, and he shall shut it up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on the plague after that it is washed, and behold, if the plague have not changed his color, and the plague be not spread, it is unclean. Thou shalt burn it in the fire. It is fret inward, whether it be bare within or without. If the priest look and behold the plague is somewhat dark after the washing of it, then he shall rend it out of the garment, or out of the skin, or out of the warp, or out of the woof. And if it appear still in the garment, either in the warp or the woof, or in anything of the skin, it is a spreading plague. Thou shalt burn that wherein the plague is with fire. And the garment, either warp or woof. God, how many times do we have to read that? We get it! The garment, just say the garment! And the garment, skip, 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 which thou shalt wash, if the plague be departed from them, then it shall be washed the second time and shall be clean. This is the law of the plague of leprosy in a garment. That's it. End. That should be the end of the chapter. But no, it says, of woolen or linen, either in the warp or woof or anything of skins, to be as clean or be as ugly. Ugh. Just added like an hour to that 59-verse chapter. That was really, really long. Oh, crap, I still got to say a bunch of stuff about the end. All right, several points about this retarded leprosy-filled chapter. Everything you ever want to know about leprosy. Okay, first, God. God. God, God, God. Is this really what you wanted to put in your eternal book? This disgusting description of every kind of leprosy, which is clean and unclean, you know, determining that. I can't wait until the chapter on which types of explosive diarrhea are clean and which ones aren't. Also, didn't you sort of foresee, God, that we would one day be able to treat and cure leprosy? Even a sort of smart human should have been able to figure that out. Oh, I gotta take a little detour. That reminds me, something I saw on TV like I don't know, 3 years ago. I saw this show that was talking about this guy who was supposedly, like, modern-day Nostradamus or something, talking about how smart he was. And they're like, he predicted the end of the Cold War and that one day a computer would beat a human at chess. And I thought, aren't those the two easiest possible predictions a person could ever make? Just take things that, like, you know, like technology in the case of the chess program, like, obviously it's accelerating at a rapid rate. So someday, you know, a computer will beat a human. And then the other one, the end of the Cold War. Like, oh, man, no. Most people at the time thought it would just go on for all time. Like, it would never end. Literally just would no end of the Cold War. We'd still be in the Cold War now. Millions of years, billions of years in the future. The sun would be about to, like, destroy the Earth, but we'd still be in the Cold War. Like, it would never... So it's that kind of prediction. So predicting that man would one day be able to cure leprosy should have been pretty easy. He said, when you're writing an eternal book, and I think that God, being omniscient, should be able to plan, I don't know, at least a couple years in the future, if not, you know, infinity. Shouldn't he know that, look, one day no one's going to have any freaking use for what I'm writing here? Even a... Yeah, anyway. But he still wanted that in his book. So those who don't accept Christ are supposedly still subject to the old law, which is what Leviticus is. So my question there is, what is the expectation for me in this case? Like what does God expect me to do? Because I don't accept Jesus Christ, so I'm still subject to the old law, as I've heard millions of people say and read. So when I get leprosy, do I have to follow these rules? Like, do I have to find Aaron? Or a son, or daughter's son, and like ask them, or can I just go ahead and go to a doctor? Can I just do that? Secondly, second point. I gotta wonder if when God was, you know, dictating all this to Moses, like he has been, because every chapter, or at least every few verses, starts with, "And the Lord said to Moses," who was apparently writing this all down diligently. Like, if God was dictating this and he's saying, God is being God, "If the hair within be white, then he's unclean. But if it is dark, then he's clean. Now, if there's a big disgusting boil right in his face, then that means..." Hey, God. Yes, I... Moses, I really wish you wouldn't interrupt me. I have a lot to get through here. What is it? What? Sorry. No big deal, but, Couldn't you just tell us how to cure leprosy? Do we need this, like, guide to every possible, like, different way we could get this horrible disease? Or, like, well, or we don't have to. Why don't you just get rid of it? Or why did you make it? Is there some point to all this? To the many different kinds? Or what? Who knows what God would have said to that if we could have engaged him in that dialogue? I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know what his response would have been. Third point. In all the notes, it's talking about... And actually, later in the text, you'll see, I'm pretty sure. It talks about how leprosy is a sign of sin. That's why it's referred to as unclean, sort of. Well, no, that's part of it. But yeah, leprosy is a sign of sin, the same way that earthquakes are a result of homosexuality, you know? Like they are. Leprosy is the result of sin. So it must have been horrible to be totally, like, the most chaste person, just be totally a great person, and then all of a sudden you somehow accidentally become exposed to the bacteria that causes leprosy. And, you know, all of a sudden you're outcast. Because lepers were outcast just as much for the disease as it was for the apparent sinfulness, if the notes I'm reading are correct. Because they're worried that, like, oh, this sinful person is going to infect other people with sinfulness. Like, actually, you know what? That's probably how they explained this, like, it being contagious. Because if your whole thing is, okay, leprosy is caused by sin, you can't say that leprosy is contagious just in and of itself. Because then that would mean that someone who did no sin could just catch it by, like, touching the person. So you have to say, like, well, those people who are catching it, it's because they're learning after the sinful people. Their sinfulness is spreading, and they make them sinful. So, and then the other thing, like, once we found out leprosy was caused by bacteria, didn't we just prove, like, how fallible this infallible book is? I know that it's obvious 200 times, but, like, that's really obvious. And now I, as I understand it, I don't think anyone gets leprosy, or if they do get it, it's totally treatable. Does that mean we don't sin anymore? We're not sinning enough? Because I could turn up my sinning a little bit. I have not been making nearly as many false idols as I could be, really. I feel bad. I really could turn it up. If that's what it takes to get some leprosy back in our society, then I'll do it. I'll make the sacrifice. All right, that was a really long chapter. On to chapter 14. Yep. All right, I got to say this chapter sucks it. I know, surprise. I have nothing written down. I'll just see what comes up. If nothing comes up, then whatever. It was a crap chapter anyway, so we'll just sort of speed through it, and that'll be that. This is the last chapter of the day because those two were so long. I actually went a little tiny bit over page-wise for a pace, but oh well. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, the Lord's still speaking all this unto Moses. God, they must have had expert stenographers back then, just like typing constantly, all the time. Lord is probably just talking to him just day after day, all the time. I mean, think how long it takes to read this freaking thing, much less to write it. So the Lord must have been talking to him for just months. Excuse me. Okay. And the Lord's speaking another thing. This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them, and a living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. Oh, boy, this crap was complicated. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the seventh day, that he shall shave all his hair off his head, and his beard, and his eyebrows. Even all his hair he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes. Also he shall wash his flesh in the water, and he shall be clean. And on the eighth day he shall take two he lambs without blemish. Two he lambs. Without blemish. I wasn't sure if that was just some weird pronoun placement, or if that's, so it's a he lamb, so that would make it an adjective, not a pronoun, I guess. And one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and three, those must be hard to find by now. Every blemishless ewe lamb has probably been slaughtered 80 times by now, so that must be tough. And I assume they're not mating if they're slaughtered right away, so they're not reproducing, so who knows? I don't know. And 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering mingled with oil, and one log of oil. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Sorry, when I get bored, I just start saying words oddly because I'm so bored with what they're saying. I know, it's stupid. And the priest shall take one he-lamb. What if that was a pronoun? And the priest shall take one he-lamb. Like, he, that would be That would put Yoda to shame. Like, I don't even think Yoda could do that. Yoda wouldn't say, although he did say around the remaining a perimeter create, he would never say, and the priest shall take one he land. I don't think he would. He just wouldn't. I know him. Look, you don't know Yoda like I know Yoda. He wouldn't say that, okay? He wouldn't say that. And offer him for a trespass offering and the log of oil and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering and in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. Oh, by the way, I'm not summing any of this up because it doesn't, just who freaking cares? It's just talking about what ineffectual, garbage, stupid ways to clean lepers that don't work. It's just giving those ways. If you want to know how not to cure something, then just read this. This is a pretty good indication. This makes bloodletting look good, actually. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. You know what? I take back everything I just said. That, you know what? That would do it. That would cure. I know that in some leading hospitals that are leading do that very technique. They put blood from a animal on your right ear because peer-reviewed studies have shown that if you put blood on the right ear and the thumb of the right hand upon the right foot, a double-blind study showed that right hand, foot, tip, ear, thumb, blood is 10 million times more effective than left blood, tip, ear, foot treatment or placebo. So I wonder what the placebo was in that study. Like, now I'm painting this on you. Like, you're like, don't look. Just trust me. I'm painting. You just take like a blank paintbrush or blank, empty, clean paint. Now I'm putting blood on your right and your left. You know, like, that's what the blind study would have to be. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. By the way, this is what happens when I don't write anything down. I just come up with the dumbest crap. So actually, most of the dumber jokes that I come up with in my podcast, usually I don't write down. Like, I don't just stick to my notes, just to give you some insight into this worthless process. I write some stuff down, then some stuff I just come up with, and probably it all, some of it sometimes is good when I come up with it right away, and sometimes when I write it, it's good, and some... why am I telling you? I'm telling you. Look at me go on like a little school boy. Tell me about you. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's cool. That's very interesting. Anyway, more about me. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand and shall sprinkle the oil of his finger 7 times. Because a double-blind, peer-reviewed study showed that 6 times and 5 times, the efficacy went down exponentially with the number of... There's a positive correlation to cleanliness among lepers and sprinkling of oil with his finger. So, and that correlation continues until 7... And then at 8, it actually flattens out because the first 7 are really what did it. So 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 sort of flattens out. So you're diminishing return. Actually, no, not even diminishing return, just flat lines after that, the effectiveness shown in studies. And the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, and upon the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. And the priest shall offer the sin offering and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanliness. And afterward he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean. And if he be poor and cannot get so much, then screw him. No. Then he shall take one lamb for a trespass offering to be waived. Does that mean it's... Does that mean it's waived? Like, is the offering is waived? He doesn't have to make, like, he can apply for some, like, government, like, you know, subsidy. Or it's like, the government will waive, the holy government will waive his one lamb offering. No, it's actually W-A-V-E-D. To make an atonement for him and one-tenth deal of fine flour. Well, he can't afford fine flour. He probably just has, like, you know. Safeway Select Kirkland Signature White Flour. It's probably pretty cheap kind. Mingled with oil for a meat offering and a log of oil. And two turtle doves or two young pigeons such as he is able to get. And the one shall be a sin offering and the other one a burnt offering. And he shall bring them out on the eighth day for his cleansing. Unto the priest. I could, and the thing about that melody is I could just keep doing it for the rest of the whole, you know, chapter. God, you would turn it right off. You would. I know you. You would turn it right off if you haven't already. Under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. I'm sorry. You know, I'm a little, you know, I'll admit it. I'm acting a little goofy for this one. Maybe it's a first day back on the job for a while. Maybe it's also the fact that this is a 59 wait, let me check. That was the last one. 57 verse chapter of just crap, of just garbage. Garbage. So that's actually probably more it. I'm trying to be entertaining. So kill me. Okay? I'm trying to entertain y'all, okay? So sue me. And the priest shall take the lamb of the trespass offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering and put it on the tip of the right ear of him to cleanse, upon the right thumb, and the great toe, right foot. And the priest shall pour of the oil onto the palm of his own left hand. Very careful, left hand. Hand. If you pour it on the right hand, you're ruined. Leprosy for the rest of your life. It's never going away. I wonder how they figured all this out. Oh, wait. The Lord just told him. Never mind. I forgot. I was going to say. Because if it was like trial and error, man, imagine how many variables. Okay, this time. Okay. Okay. Let's go left earlobe, right index finger, middle toe, middle kneecap. No. That won't work. Left kneecap. And then I'll put it in my foot, put the oil in my right foot and use my pinky toe. Are you writing all this down? We have to test every single combination and I will wave it, 5.5 times. 'Cause we tried last time was 5, this time 5.5 before the Lord. 'Cause last time it was after the Lord. And then we'll try that. We'll see if that works. And they just, that's how they discovered. They just documented that for hours, days, years, months, billions of years. Oh no, God just told them. Never mind. But that would be funny if they did that way. And the priest shall put of the oil that is in his hand upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed and upon the thumb of his right hand and upon the great toe of his right foot upon the place of the blood of the trespass offering. And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall put onto the head of him that is to be cleansed. And make an atonement, to make an atonement for him before the Lord. And he shall offer one of the turtle doves or of the young pigeons, such as he can get, even such as he is able to get, the one for sin offering and the other for a burnt offering, with the meat offering, and the priests shall make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed for the Lord. I gotta think even the people writing the Bible at this point are just bored out of their friggin' minds with this. They're like, dude, Moses, I can't even write this. I'm so bored. This is like, my hand is falling asleep. And not like circulation-wise, like it literally is taking a freaking nap because this is so bored. Boring. See, I can't even talk. My brain's shutting down. Boredom. Oh, God. Really? Seriously. This is a challenge. Still a million times better when we had to read all that than when we had to read all that repeated stuff about the... You know what? I blocked it from my mind. I don't remember what it is. Something about the... Oh, yeah. Building the ark. Oh, my God. It's possible that I'm talking to people who are listening who actually listen to those podcasts within the last week. I don't know. Could be a month. Could be a week. Could be a day. Maybe you're listening. Maybe you're on a marathon. And to you, I pity you. I'm so glad that that's about a month or two behind me. Because that's probably why I had to take time off was that. It was just unbearable. That was unbearably bad. Oh, man. Do I have a different Bible than people have been reading all these years? Do I have the same one? There's no way I have the same one. Someone would have told me about that by now. Someone would have been like, that would be a major point of debate whenever I watch these religious debates, which is a passion of mine. The atheist could just be like, look, for the view of atheism, I submit to you this Leviticus or whatever it was. I think it was Exodus, the end of Exodus. Exodus, you know, X through X. Just read that if you would. On the religious side, go ahead and read that aloud to the audience right now. Just read it. I insist. Read that aloud, and take your time. Take your time. We got all the time. I'll wait. I will wait for you to read all that. And then at the end, audience, you tell me if God exists. And by the end of that, I guarantee you, they would be like, oh, even if you were in a church, they would be like, what? That is not in the, are you reading the Book of Mormon or something? What is that? That cannot be in the Bible. They'd be like, I'm out of here. I'm out. That would be the best argument you could make against God. Certainly, shook my faith. Which was already wavering. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when ye be come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seemeth to me there is as it were a plague in the house. And that, and so it said, he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying... So they have to say just these words. Like if the person comes and says like, oh crap, the person doesn't know their Bible very well. They're like, it seemeth to me that there's a plague on the house. And the priest is like, what? What does that mean? Oh crap. It seemeth to me there, oh, I know this. There is... There is a plague upon the house. Priest is like, sorry, I still don't understand. You know, that could go on for days. Then the priest, I just love that idea of God saying what the people are going to say. Like God is talking to Moses right now. He's like, hey, Moses. If someone owns a house in the land and they come to you saying, you know, it seemeth to me, does God do like a voice for like what they sound like? You know, does he, it seemeth to me there is as it were a plague in the house. Like, does God do that? I really wonder. That would be, be awesome. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest go into it to see the plague. All that is in the house be not made unclean. And afterward, the priest shall go in. See the house, and he shall look on the plague, and behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house with hollow strakes, greenish or reddish, which in sight are lower than the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. The house. And the priest shall come again the seventh day and shall look, and behold, if the plague be not spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which the plague is, and they shall cast them into an unclean place without the city. Oh, that's one of those places that holds all the lepers, the women who just gave birth, and the griffins and dragons and shellfish. That's where you put those stones. Just must just be a big pit of like death. And he shall cause the house to be scraped within round about, and they shall pour. Oh, I like that. That's getting him out of doing any work. Like, you don't have to do it yourself, but you shall cause the house to be scraped within round about, and they shall pour out the dust that they scrape off without the city into an unclean place. And they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones. And he shall take other mortar and shall plaster the house. P-L-A-I-ster. Plaster. Which must be like plastering. I don't know. And if the plague come again and break out in the house, after that he hath taken away the stones, and after that he hath scraped the house, and after it is plastered, then the priest shall come back and look. Shall come and look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the house, it is a fretting leprosy in the house, it is unclean. And he shall break down the house, the stones of it, and the timber thereof, and all the mortar of the house, and he shall carry them forth out of the city to an unclean place. Moreover, he that goeth into the house, all the while that it is shut up, shall be unclean until the even. And he that lieth in the house shall wash his clothes, and he that eateth in the house shall wash his clothes, and he that washeth his clothes in the house shall eat. It didn't say that. I made that up. And if the priest shall come in and look upon it, and behold, the plague hath not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean because the plague is healed. And he shall take to cleanse the house two birds, and cedarwood, and scarlet, and hyssop, and rosemary, and thyme. And he shall kill one of the birds in an earthen vessel over running water. Oh, we're almost done. This one, I better hurry. This is going to crack an hour. Whew. And he shall take, I don't know if I've ever done that before. And he shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet and the living bird and dip them in the blood of the slain bird and in the running water, sprinkle the house sometimes. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird and with the running water and with the living bird and with the cedar wood and with the hyssop and with the scarlet. But he shall let go the living bird out of the city into the open fields and make an atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. This is the law for all manner of plague and leprosy and skull, and for the leprosy of a garment and of a house, and for a rising and for a scab and for a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy. End of chapter. I like that little summary at the end. What you have just read is the law of leprosy, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. Okay, that's it. That's the end of that. Those were two long, crappy chapters. So yeah, you've learned everything that's not important about leprosy. You've learned everything that would ever not help you to fight leprosy in any way. Okay, that's it. That's it. Great show. Good show, everyone. Thank you. Good job. This was great to be back. I gotta say, it was fun. And I think once a week, as depressing as that is to me, and hopefully to you, that'll work. And I'll just have to go on and do this thing for like 5 friggin' years. Maybe someday or some weeks I'll be able to do more. I don't know. I might just stick to one a week though. It's just too much. I got another site going with a friend of mine called atheistpapers.com. Atheist Papers. We're going to write. Oh, that's what I've been talking about when I say I'm going to write something about this. That's what I mean. That site is up, Atheist Papers. My friend's first quick paper is up. It's sort of an introduction. I'm going to write sort of an introduction as well. And then I'm going to write some more in-depth stuff that is not going to have to do with just reading the word of the crappy Bible. So if you're interested in some other parts of, atheism, I think I'm going to have some good stuff, and maybe I'll talk about them a little bit more in depth when they come out. But yeah, if you're still following along and you're glad that I'm back, write a comment. I really appreciate it. A lot of people have written comments and I love it. I really enjoy it. It's great that you guys are listening. It makes me feel good. And please, if you like this, please review it on iTunes. I have one review. Well, I have one real review, and then I had one that was, I had my first bit of hail, metal tinkle. But yeah, I had a review that was some like almost a threat. Let me read this to you guys. I know this is going on forever, but screw it. This is all you get this week. Yeah, I have one good review, and thank you, Zombie Dalton. And I have this review. This is great. By Gates of Eden. The review is titled, "Just Try This with the Quran." And then it continues, dot, 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 "In a Muslim country and see how far you get podcasting as they slap your stupid face with your excised tongue." Was this review helpful? Yes or no? I'm going to go ahead and mark no. I don't think I really understand it. Just try this with the Quran. Now, here's what I don't get. I don't understand if this is like, oh, okay, they gave me 1 star out of 5. So that means it's somebody who doesn't like me or doesn't like it or probably didn't listen to it. Does this mean that they are Muslim? Like, just try this with the Quran, like they're daring me? But if they're, this is what's so weird about this. I'm sorry. I just got to share this. You can turn me off if you're sick of this. You probably turned me off hours ago. If they're Muslim, I don't understand why they're so offended about me reviewing the Bible. It maybe they did listen and they found that I'm anti all religion, I guess. But I don't know. That seems kind of, so anyone who has a thought about this, feel free to email comments at Thomas in the Bible or comment on the website or whatever. Just for fun. I like interaction. I like the interaction. Just try this with a Quran in a Muslim country. See how far you get. Podcasting as they slap your stupid face with your excised tongue. So, but if they're not. So maybe that means they. So now I'm tempted to think that they might be Christian. And they're saying, like, they're defending Christianity by saying, well, you can do this with the Bible because we're so nice, maybe. But if you tried this with the Quran, they would slap your stupid face with your excised tongue. And also, is that the law there? I think they probably do something horrible. I don't think they slap my stupid face with my excised tongue, do they? Is that the law there? I don't know. I'll do some research. Get my interns, of which I have none, to do that. Oh, yeah, this has gone on long enough. This really is such a long podcast. I just wanted to break the time record here. So thank you so much for listening. If you did, I really appreciate it. I'm glad to be back, and I'll see you guys next week. All right.